The narrative pumped by loyalists who are outraged is that the FBI raided Donald Trump's home, of course, Mar-a-Lago, broke into areas including his safe and, oh, by the way, rifled through Melania's closet. The reality is that it was a formal execution of a legal search warrant, which brings with it a great deal of specifics. The aftermath, as we saw just days after the FBI agents left Mar-a-Lago, has been not just violent threats but against the FBI, but actual violence in Cincinnati where the FBI office was attacked. Joining us now to help us further and better understand the reality of all this is a former FBI special agent who retired after 24 years of service. He's now a senior lecturer of criminal justice, homeland security, and emergency management at the Henry C. Lee College of Criminal Justice and Forensic Sciences. That's at the University of New Haven. We say good morning to Kenneth Gray. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Certainly. Good morning.
And we have the links up on our site, but for more info about the University of New Haven, newhaven.edu, and about the Henry C. Lee College, it's /Lee-College. Again, we have the links over at our homepage for you to explore. So as I said, Kenneth, in the intro, we've got this screeching about raid and the legalities and mechanics of actually what happened. So take us through the FBI procedures and process. How does a search warrant and the execution of it differ from when the FBI launches a raid? Because to me, it sounds like, well, you'll certainly know one versus the other.
So when the FBI conducts a search warrant, now you have a search warrant, it tells you specifically what you are looking for and the particular area that you are to search. When you go to conduct a search warrant, you are authorized to look anywhere that the items you are looking for could be. So this is a search for documents. You can look for documents anywhere that a document could be hidden at. If the search were for a boat, say, you could not look in drawers because a boat is too big to be inside a drawer.
Right.
But if the search is for documents, you can look anywhere that a document could be at, whether it's a desk drawer or whether it's in a box, whether it's in a filing cabinet or in a closet or in a safe. You can look anywhere that that a document could be placed at. So the search warrant allows the FBI to look absolutely anywhere, since it's documents, within Mar-a-Lago.
And that, again, differs strongly from what a raid is. A raid is much like we saw maybe with when they apprehended Roger Stone, for example.
So a raid is not an official term used by the FBI. The FBI conducts searches. They conduct arrests. Raid is more a slang term, and it does not have a specific definition.
Now, one would imagine that getting a warrant from a judge, I mean, it's not like what we see on Law and Order, where McCoy says, okay, I'll make a phone call, wake up a judge, the commercial break comes and goes, and Briscoe and Logan are in the suspect's house. It doesn't happen that fast and easy, does it?
Well, a search warrant can be obtained anywhere from hours to days, and it really depends upon the particulars, the access to the judge or magistrate. A number of factors come into play. But here's the thing, is that in this particular instance, considering the very high-profile nature of this search warrant had to be approved all the way at the very highest level. The attorney general himself would have to sign off on such a search warrant because it's against the former president of the United States and a potential future candidate for the office again.
Hypothetically, if the DOJ gets the warrant, but the FBI head or someone in the FBI leadership chain doesn't feel like every T is crossed and I is dotted, can the FBI say, well, okay, we know what you want to do, but we don't see where we could do this with what you have given us?
So the FBI is not independent in that the FBI works for the Department of Justice. If the Attorney General directs the FBI to do something, the FBI is going to carry out that order to do something. And if the director of the FBI feels strongly against it, the director of the FBI could make a public statement and resign. But otherwise, the FBI is going to carry out any direction that the Department of Justice tells it to carry out, as long as it's a lawful order.
Kenneth Gray, former FBI agent of 24 years service, now with the Henry C. Lee College of Criminal Justice and Forensic Scientists, the University of New Haven, newhaven.edu, and for the Henry C. Lee College /Lee-College. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Referred in the intro to Kenneth to, and I'm going to get into this for you listening in the next segment as far as the online chatter that's been going on. It's not pretty, by the way, but we saw the impact of what we've seen publicly through even politicians and talking heads in the media with what happened in Cincinnati. How do you as a former agent react to seeing that happen? I mean, the FBI did their job successfully, obviously, in defending and taking down the shooter, but I think we all know that it's not a one and done. This is probably going to be the routine for quite some time.
So we do not know what the factor was that caused the person there in Cincinnati to go and attempt to breach the security of the Cincinnati office. We just don't know at this point exactly what motivated this attempt to get in there armed. It is not a first time something like this has happened. But it will take some investigation to determine what happened. The shooter is dead, so we can't ask him what happened. But they certainly can look into whether the person, was under psychiatric care, whether they were receiving medication, whether they had a history of this type of actions. So I think investigation has to go into it to determine if it was related to this search or if it was the person acting on their own for other reasons.
I did see some reports saying that he was one of the people at the Capitol on January 6th, and he actually posted his threats on the Truth social network. And, well, that's the thing, too, I guess. How much easier has it become for trying to figure out missing pieces about a violent person now that so many of them leave their fingerprints, handprints, details on the social media, even if they're taken out?
So social media has become a very, very useful tool investigatively to look into people that are making threats or carrying out threats like this, because so many of them have gone and telegraphed what they plan to do or documented what they have done. For instance, in the case down in New Zealand, the shooter there in the mosque live streamed his actions there. Then we see the same thing occur up in upper state New York, where that person also live streamed his attack on the grocery store. And so social media is being used to document these crazy actions.
Going back to some of the conspiracies that they're spewing online and in the media as well, what are the level of penalties if an FBI agent would ever do something like plant evidence or create actions that were taken under false pretenses or, I mean, any of the other conspiracies that we're hearing about what happened in Mar-a-Lago?
So planting evidence, trying to change documents, those are all very serious allegations. And would have criminal ramifications for it. The person could be charged with those the actions. And so this is something that the criminal justice system protects against, and that if a person does do something like this, they should be facing serious criminal charges themselves.
As a veteran of the Bureau, I think we've seen this in other instances too, with law enforcement, even teaching, when an industry or a section of our society comes under attack, inside frustration is created. A lot of people decide, I don't need this, I'm out of here. And potential stellar recruits for that sector of our society say, I'm not going in there because that fire's too high and I really don't want to deal with that. This could potentially place the quality and the stability of the FBI work if some of these attacks continue to grow and are continue to be pushed by people supposedly in seats of authority.
So the FBI has a long reputation of working for the American public, trying to keep the American public safe, and that attacks on its integrity like this here is very unfortunate. especially if it is unearned. And so it very well could hurt the FBI in the long run as far as retention or in recruiting, in that its reputation were besmirched like this. This is what happens, though, when you see law enforcement bumping up against politics, is that by being brought into the realm of politics, or apparently being brought into the realm of politics, you see reputations damaged in the process.
Yeah, the narrative being that politics has infected the FBI, where in fact politics is infecting law and order, and that's something that law and order was not designed to have to go up against, but I'm betting on law and order to win out of all this. So he's a former FBI special agent with 24 years of service, now a senior lecturer with the Henry C. Lee College of Criminal Justice and Forensic Sciences, which is at the University of New Haven. On the web, it's newhaven.edu if you're looking for a place for furthering your education. And if you want to learn more about the Henry C. Lee College, /Lee-College, both links over to our webpage. Kenneth Gray, thank you so much for your insight, for helping cut through a lot of the smoke that too many people are trying to throw at the serious issue. And thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.